Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Mason Crosby Show, live from the 1250 AM and one.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
5.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Remember, you can listen on the free Odyssey app, AUDACY. AUDACY is the way to get that in the App Store, where TikTok is now available again, by the way. That's just an aside. My name is Mitch Nels, a.k.a. Thunder. Mason Crosby is here. And joining the all-time leading scorer in Green Bay Packers history is the all-time winningest manager in Milwaukee Brewers history, current Chicago Cubs manager, Whitefish Bay Zone, Craig Counsell. Craig, welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys.
How you doing, sir?
Morning, Craig. Thanks for jumping on.
Late night last night, you feeling okay after the game?
Disappointed. I mean, I think I thought Notre Dame played pretty well. I think Ohio State just played better and was probably a better team. But it was they made it interesting at the end.
Yeah, so obviously, Craig, you played baseball there at Notre Dame, and I want to get your initial reactions to the season they had. Obviously, the hopefulness of trying to win that national championship. What do you feel like, kind of in the aftermath of them not coming out on top, and what all transpired there?
No, it was a. I mean, if you're playing for the national championship, you've had a good season. Clearly, Notre Dame football is in a good place. Marcus Freeman's done a heck of a job. He's got a great energy to him, a great vibe to him. Clearly is a very good coach. So Notre Dame football's in a really good place.
Nice, nice. Yeah, so you grew up in Wisconsin. You live in Whitefish Bay. Like, obviously, your neighbors with Mitch. Whitefish Bay guys. And I know, like, looking at it, your dad worked for the Brewers. All your baseball memories, and we're going to dive right into Bob Uecker stuff, are tied to Bob Uecker. So I just kind of want to know what is your earliest memories of Uecker, and interactions you might have had as a kid. Obviously, with your dad's involvement there as well with the Brewers.
I think just like everybody else, my earliest memories are hearing him on the radio in the summer. And my generation growing up, like, baseball on the radio was, that's how, you consume the game and learn the game and love the game is a lot on the radio. So hearing his voice, it's probably my first memories of him. When I met him as a kid, he was kind of larger than life at that time for a kid. He was on commercials, he was on a sitcom. He was a star. He was a huge star. So I was probably intimidated around him and didn't talk to him much, just kind of stared.
Exactly. Like, you meet a celebrity, like somebody that you've, like, heard, and then all of a sudden you see a face and you're just like, oh my gosh, like, this is crazy. And his persona was that at all times. Like, we talked about that last week as we, you know, shut everything down on Thursday to honor his legacy and, you know, talk about who he was and what he meant to baseball. And it was just, he was that person. He was larger than life at all times. And so you went on, you grew up, you know, in Wisconsin playing baseball, did your thing. You went to Notre Dame, played baseball there, and then you played 16 years in the major leagues, which is amazing. You had a couple stints, you know, playing for the Brewers. Do you remember, like, any moments of, like, not having Mr. Baseball, you know, involved in your career when you'd come play at the Brewers or when you were playing for them? Just kind of tell us, like, what it was like, you know, as a player with his impact, you know, around the game. And, like, did, you know, were there any moments that that you had interactions or, you know, memories from that?
Well, I think, you know, I got to know him certainly playing for the Brewers, and then probably better as the manager because we spent so much time together doing a daily show. But you know what I learned, all, you know, just kind of just watching him over 20 years, is that, you know, Bob played in the major leagues. I think sometimes we forget about that, but he set this thing whole up. He had a great sense of humor over self-deprecating himself about himself as a player, but he was a major league player. And he loved the players. He treated those guys, they were teammates. They treated him as a teammate. That was so important to him. And that was a big deal, just kind of being one of the guys. And he loved that. And that's what the players sensed from him more than anything, is that he just loved being one of the guys. And that's the greatest thing about a locker room, is being one of the guys.
No doubt.
And Bob never, like, he never lost that, even as a broadcaster. It was still the most important thing to him to just be one of the guys. And he loved that. He loved walking into a clubhouse every single day. And that's, like, I think for people who played sports for a long time or just played sports period, just like to be able to walk into a clubhouse and be one of the guys for like 70 years of your life, which is what Bob got to do, is wild, right? And he treasured that, and it made players love him. I've never seen a player that players wanted, like, he would go out into the hallway and meet players' parents, you know what I mean? Like, players would want to introduce him to their mom and dad. And you'd see players starstruck. You'd see great players starstruck over meeting Bob Uecker. And that was always the sign of, like, this guy's a big deal and this guy does it right.
Craig Counsell joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show, 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Craig, you kind of alluded to my next question about, you know, star players being starstruck. When you would come into town, do you remember any time that there was any of your teammates on other teams, whether it was Arizona or Florida or whoever it might have been, who either, you know, were starstruck by Bob or at first didn't really know who Bob was but then got to know him? Was there ever an aura of, like, this is a pretty cool thing to happen, even as the visiting team came in and got to spend a couple days in Milwaukee with Mr. Baseball?
Yeah, I mean, the story I remember, I might not get it completely right, but it was a couple years ago, and Adam Wainwright was with the Cardinal. Adam Wainwright was on his last year, and obviously he had been in St. Louis for 17 or so years, and he would say hi to Uke kind of every time he came in. So on his last time into Milwaukee, Wainwright wanted to do something special, so he went up into the booth on a day he wasn't pitching during the game. So he's, you know, the game's going on and Wainwright's in the booth with Uke. And then Uke made him read a Miller Lite spot during the game. Wainwright's reading a beer spot commercial during the game with Uke. And that was his present to Uke for his last trip to Milwaukee.
Oh, that's so great. And I think that's what Euchre was about, was like, yeah, again, like so disarming and relatable, but he'd like put people in very uncomfortable situations and see how they react to it. And so, yeah, we talked about, I guess, you know, we had, some conversations and like the major league stuff whenever he was doing that. They didn't give him a script. They just kind of went off. Like, so I want to ask you about that, like, because you said, you know, you had a daily show with him. You interacted with him on a daily basis. Like, were those shows, like, was there anything y'all ever kind of sat and talked about beforehand, or was it just off the cuff always with him?
No, it was off the cuff. I mean, he was best at that. I mean, I was just amazed how good he was at it. But that's where I learned him. I mean, I learned about Johnny Carson, you know, how he was, no person was on the Johnny Carson show more than Bob Euchre. He was Johnny's number one guest of all time.
You always knew you were going to get something good.
Yeah, and it was because, like, he made Carson laugh. And there was like a hundred. Bob never broke a straight. He played the straight man on the Carson show. He never laughed. He never came out of character. So he made Carson laugh, and that's why Carson kept bringing him back on the show, because he wanted to laugh. And Bob was the guy that made him laugh more than anybody. So it was that learning that, and then just, you know, it's a time when you wish you had a recorder, because he would tell stories about, you know, a night out with Mickey Mantle or a night out with Hank Aaron, you know, like, and it was just baseball history. You felt like you were in the presence of baseball history.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah, and, you know, he was around the game for so long, and obviously you know, managing the Brewers for 9 years and then your playing time there as well. Like, he was kind of like a de facto owner in a sense. I mean, he was bigger than ownership there for the Brewers. He's an icon.
He was the mayor.
He is the Brewers, right? So was there kind of a, did he ever have like little tidbits or pressures? Did he give insight into like the game and like what he, you know, wanted to see or anything like that? Or was he more just like an observer and kind of give his, you know, his rundowns as a broadcaster? Or did he ever kind of come into that space and like talk about, you know, X's and O's and like, you know, the baseball side of things?
Not rarely. He really never did. He was always super supportive, and, you know, treated his role like a teammate almost. So never, you know, I would say never.
That's awesome.
He was always just super supportive and wanting the Brewers to win. And, you know, I always appreciated that for sure after a tough day or something like that.
Well, he always painted that picture, right? I mean, like, again, through tough times with the Brewers for, you know, a long stretch of when he was calling games, I mean, he had people listening because he would paint a picture of, we're so close. Like, even I joke of the major league stuff, like, you know, his calls in that movie, it's just like, if you're listening and you're not watching the game, you're like, oh, I don't know how they didn't swing at some of those pitches. They were, you know, just barely missing. So, like, he just had a knack about that. And, I know your wife is involved with the Lombardi Cancer Foundation, and obviously that's something near and dear to my heart, and that's where I got to know Bob Euchre so much. And it's, it's a space where I got to connect with him on a personal level, and my family has relationship, moments where they got to sit and talk with him. Just such a cool organization to be a part of as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bob, the Lombardi Foundation was a huge charitable place for Bob, along with military veterans. He did a fabulous job and cared deeply about. And Bob was, like, I think probably in the later, you know, third of his life or whatever, quiet and private, but did tremendous charitable work. Lombardi Foundation, like, among the primary places. And that's what he valued. He was very, he taught me a ton about living and, like, what to value. And he valued very, like, limited, important things to him and did greatness with them. And he made a huge impact on the places that he touched. And he taught me a lot, I know, about, you know, how to do that.
Craig Counsell joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show, 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Doing the daily radio show and being involved with him like you were, Craig, were there any gotcha moments where he got one over on you, were there any practical jokes or anything like that? I know over the weekend you told a great story about Robin Yount's dad, and if you want to tell that story again, you can. But I was just wondering if there was any time you know, you guys sat down and you were in game mode, and he just kind of like lightened the load, or made fun of you or made fun of somebody else. Where we talked a lot the past week or so about how, like, you knew if Bob Uecker was making fun of you, like, you were in a good place. Like, there was never negative intent. No one made fun of Robin Yount the way Bob Uecker would make fun of Robin Yount, but it made everyone in the room laugh, including Robin. Did you have any gotcha moments where he got you?
Well, you know, so he was a mess. They always make talk about the cough button on the radio, right? Where it's like, you know, he's talking, but it's not going over the air, and you think it's going over the air, right?
That's so funny.
So he did that so often when he'd invite people into the booth. Like, he'd say something, but the cough button would be on, so he wasn't going over the air, right? But when we do our show, you know, I would say something, and then he was so quick-witted. So you'd say something, and I just kind of, after I got to know him, like, see his eyes and be like, oh, no, he's going to get me. and he could always push, you know, he could always re-record it. But he would have me going, because he would do a whole bit, and I was like, are you serious? What am I supposed to say to that? You know what I mean? But he always knew we'd push stop, and we'd do it over again. But he'd... He had that quick-wittedness that, like, you tried to keep up with him, but his mind as a comedian, frankly, just as a comedian, it was brilliant. And one of the fun parts always was just seeing other comedians. Like, they wanted to be with him. They wanted to see him. They wanted to, like, see how he did it. Whenever the team went to Los Angeles, like, the comedians would kind of line up to see you. Sure.
That's awesome. Yeah, and you, like, we've, like, last week we played so many clips from Norm MacDonald, and, you know, Adam Sandler sent things out. Yeah, it does just feel like it was, you know, again, he was baseball. He's Mr. Baseball.
He was baseball
bigger,
royalty and yeah, comedy royalty.
And comedy, like, just bigger, larger than life. A question I've been stirring around in my head, you know, just hear what, this last year has been. I saw him for the last time in June at the Lombardi Cancer Foundation's golf event, obviously not knowing it was going to be the last interaction I had with him, and have fond memories of that moment. Here in this past year, obviously a lot's changed in your world, with the move there to the Cubs. What was your last interaction and some of the last kind of moments that you can remember sharing with Uecker, over this past year?
Yeah, I mean, we had lunch later this past summer, kind of late in the summer, on an off day, and maybe the Brewers were out of town, and we had an off day. So that was it was nice to have lunch with them, and that was great. We continued to text kind of through the winter, through this past winter. But yeah, I mean, he was, he had cancer, and it was a struggle, and he was battling it. But it was, 90 years and working through doing what he was great at and what he loved to do.
Yep.
Through age 90, like, is a blessing for sure, and something, that we all wish, we hope could happen. But that's a credit to just, I think his spirit, frankly, he had this spirit that kept him going, and we can all learn from that.
No doubt. And I was looking at some things too, as it looks like some of your kids are following in your footsteps in the baseball world. Are we going to see any councils in the major leagues in the coming years?
Well, we got two. I got two boys playing college baseball, and they love it and enjoy it, and it's made college a lot of fun for them. One's at Kansas, and one's at Northwestern, and so.
Awesome.
They are their season kicks college baseball season kicks off in about 3 weeks, actually, so they're getting ready, and it's right around the corner.
That's great.
Tommy, you got a quick question?
Yeah, I actually wanted to bring it up. This is Tommy Wirtz, the producer here for the Mason Crosby Show. Craig, I wanted to talk about if you ever had conversations with Uecker about Northwoods League baseball, because he was very involved with the Lakeshore Chinooks in the community here. And if I'm not mistaken, your son Brady played a little bit in the Northwoods League. Yep. And funny enough, I worked in Wilmer when the year after he was there. And I don't know, did you ever make a trip out to Wilmer, Craig? Because there's not much going on.
Has anyone ever been to Wilmer?
Yeah, there's not much going on out there, right? I mean, so.
Yeah, I spent a night in Wilmer. That is small town baseball right there.
Yeah, it is a whole community around it. So I just wanted to know if you talked about Northwoods League with Bob.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Bob was involved with the Lakeshore Chinooks for a long time, and both my sons actually played for the Chinooks. So, yeah, I mean, I think it was, you know, Bob was kind of part of the community, and it was always, you know, him. I believe him and Robin were part of that.
Yep.
And they, he spent some time out there, and it was local, and he loved it. And that was kind of, that's who Bob was.
Craig Counsell joining us on the Mason Crosby Show. Craig, I know we mentioned your sons, but obviously our connections is your daughter's on the varsity team, my daughter's on JV for Whitefish Bay. Where did your daughter learn to shoot? Because she's one of the best 3-point shooters in the state. And I got to know, like, were you ever this good of a shooter? Where did that come from?
Yeah, I don't know. It's no,
she,
I was not.
I'm praising, like, she's an awesome, like, she is fun to watch her, and the quick release. I mean, she's so, it's like that, you know. Yeah, so
yeah, she it's you know, we played a lot of sports in our family. She's the youngest. she had to work for it.
She got beat up.
Two older brothers. Yeah.
Yeah, she's been battle tested for a long time, and so she's the beneficiary of. Kind
when
of
you have older siblings and you get swatted a bunch, you learn how to release that thing really quick.
Like, I mean, that's the best credit I can give. I mean, that's how it works, I think, more than anything. But, you know, and then she loves it. So it's like you can't teach that. She just loved it, and she practices it, and she wants to get better at it. So it's her dream and her passion, and let her keep going as far as it takes her.
Absolutely.
Well, before we let you go, yeah, is there any last thoughts and things you might want to say about Uecker and his legacy to the listeners here in Wisconsin and Milwaukee, and just before we jump off the air with you, really appreciate you jumping on, Craig. It was awesome to hear some of your insights and stories. Any last thoughts about Uecker?
Yeah, I mean, I think we were just all lucky to be around him, and he really was. You know, I'm not a broadcaster, but I always enjoyed being around somebody who was great and what they do. And listening to him do radio was like greatness. It was like the highest form of doing it to me. Like, he was just, his timing and his when he dropped out and just didn't talk, and his telling of a joke. It was just incredible to be a part of. I got a little bit of a, behind the curtain look at it, and I'm so grateful for that. And I'm also just grateful for the friendship that we had. It was, really special to have a friend like that and to learn from a man like that.
Well, Craig, I hope the boo birds don't show up too big there whenever you come into town into Milwaukee in this next time. But good luck on your season. I know this is kind of a little bit of a little breather moment before it ramps up here. Moving into spring. But really appreciate you jumping on, and good luck with everything going forward.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a great day.
Absolutely, you as well. That is Craig Counsell, winningest manager in Milwaukee Brewers history, current Chicago Cubs manager, and we all know what that means, but great to have him on to just share some memories of Uecker and his relationship, because, he's 54. Uecker was with the Brewers for 54 years.
That's right.
Craig Counsell's never known the Brewers without Bob Uecker.
Yeah, has a lot of memories are attached to that. Like, you know, so many people message in and like talking, you know, talking about it last week, how they only know Brewers baseball with Bob Uecker. So, yeah, so awesome. And I know it's bigger than the sport. Someone like Bob Uecker, bigger than like your allegiance to your team and all of those things. Forget about all those things. It is awesome to honor such an awesome legacy that Uecker left behind on so many people. And Craig was a big part of that, and so it was awesome to have him on and just share some insights into his relationship with Uke.
And it's great to hear not just Craig Counsell, but you know, when we had Dan Needles, when we had Tom Hardicourt, when Sparky had John McLaughlin on, when he had Darren Sutton on, when he had Pat Hughes on, you know, all these luminaries in sports, some who are still active, some who are retired, some who are with other teams, you know. And the word everybody uses is lucky. Like, and yeah, as fans, I think the same thing. Like, how lucky we were to have Bob Uecker's voice with us summer after summer after summer after summer, and be like welcomed into his aura of just like happiness and positivity. And it was always happy and positive.
For sure. Yep. We were very fortunate. And I think that's something that we can't ever, you know, take for granted, is like that importance of what this game and what sports can bring. And Uecker made sure of that. And he, just an insight, like, people can't just walk into those buildings. Like, and
right,
broadcasters aren't always just like openly welcome, probably the way that Uecker was there in the Brewers, you know, clubhouse and around the players and all of that. Just total access, total, you know, he was a team guy. So like to have that, like, and to know that he was just welcome openly into that space. And that's you know, that's obviously what he wanted. Like, he just wanted to be in that building as much as possible. And so what a great legacy. And I'm so glad we were able to continue to talk about Uecker a little bit into this week after you know, everything that we did last week.
Absolutely. We are the Mason Crosby Show. Live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Podwatering Sportsbook. We've got a lot to get to. Ben Johnson has landed in Chicago. I don't know if he's actually physically, but he probably has.
He's probably there.
Xavier Lucas has landed in Miami, I assume, I think. I don't know. Marquette's in action tonight. The Badgers basketball team is in action tonight. And, of course, NFL, the college football playoffs are done. We could touch on that a little bit more, but the NFL playoffs are in our full front view mirror, front view windshield coming up. We got to talk a little bit of NFL as well. So much to get to. Stay tuned right here on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Our studio is powered by the Podwatomi Sportsbook.